Richard, let's talk a little bit about how old the UFO phenomenon is.
Yeah.
Earlier you said thousands of years, goes back since probably the beginning of time, but what have you uncovered?
Well, first of all, could I just start with a rather great quote that I found, which was by the Roman poet Catullus. And he said this, he said, "For then, before religion was despised," an interesting statement in itself, "the sky dwellers in person used to visit the stainless homes of heroes." And he was talking there about ancient Greece and the times of Homer. So there they had this culture that, you know, what we knew there as the gods of ancient Greece, Zeus and so on, were originally regarded as being sky dwellers who came from other worlds. But probably the most ancient records, and I think people are probably familiar with this, some of the listeners already, are the Hindu scripts, the old Sanskrit writings, because they were passed down by word of mouth for 10, some people believe hundreds of thousands of years before they were ever committed to writing. And there, in the Sanskrit language, is the word Vimana, V-I-M-A-N-A. And there are many, many examples in the writings of the Ramayana, the Mahabharata, and so forth, of Vimanas. It's really quite a rich source. And there, of course, you're talking about a Vimana being a flying celestial vehicle. So it's not like, say, the Bible, where you have Elijah, Jesus, and so on, traveling in clouds, and Moses traveling in a cloud. And when he received the Ten Commandments, when he was taken up Mount Sinai, he was taken up in a cloud, which obviously, clearly, was not a cloud. I mean, you can't travel in a cloud. We all know that. But in the Hindu text, this word, Vimana, I'll give you one example. This is taken from the Mahabharata, and this is a quote from it. Then Dharma and Indra and the other deities, causing Yudhishthira to ascend on a Vimana, went to the celestial region. Those beings, crowned with success and capable of going everywhere at will, rode their respective Vimanas. King Yudhishthira, riding on his Vimana, ascended quickly, causing the entire sky to blaze with his effulgence. I mean, it's interesting to me is the link, again, between spirituality and UFOs.
Yeah, it really is. And it's so obvious that they were looking at some kind of craft.
Exactly. And in some parts of the Hindu text, they describe the propulsion units and so on. They don't even talk about it symbolically, because in so many ancient writings, you get other kinds of descriptions, as I say, clouds, wheels within wheels. In the book of Zechariah, you've got a flying roll, which is a manuscript, really, which we would probably now call a cigar-shaped object.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and really, if you think about it, the term flying saucer is pretty banal and not a very good way to describe these beautiful crafts. But looking through some old documents, I found about some very old Japanese documents which describe an unusual shining object in 1180 AD, heading northeast and changing direction and vanishing, something else that UFOs frequently do. I'm sure there are listeners who've had UFO experiences, who've seen a UFO blink out and blink in. And this ancient Japanese document describes this object vanishing, leaving a trail of light in its wake, and then they described it as being, I thought this was fascinating, a flying earthenware vessel. So the flying saucer was actually coined back in the 12th century in Japan. But you know, you've got Alexander the Great, who saw shining shield-like objects flying above him and his army. Then, of course, very interestingly, there are those who believe that Christopher Columbus, actually, when he found the New World, was guided by UFOs. And there's quite a long extract I put in the book about this and a description of what he saw. I mean, someone would say it wasn't UFOs, of course, but he saw lights there, and it guided him in his finding of the area.
Well, you know, something remarkable has happened on this program over the years. My question, Richard, is what happened? Where did the craft go? They just merely left? Or do they, you know, they keep coming back like the Ramanas? Where'd they go?
This is interesting, isn't it? I mean, it's when they disappear. When they do blink out, which I mentioned, I believe that is where, in many cases, they are showing their capacity of multidimensional existence. They are no longer on the physical plane, if you like, or the physical level, but they can travel through the levels. And again, where you find a lot of this really, I believe, is in ancient Buddhist writings, because there you have this concept of lokas, L-O-K-A-S. And lokas really are different levels. It's not a million miles, really, from the idea of multi-dimensions. I mean, the Lord Buddha taught that life is prevalent throughout the universe, manifesting in different spheres of existence and levels of consciousness, which he referred to as lokas, L-O-K-A-S. And, you know, to answer your question, where do they go? I believe they can go not only to other places, and they can go there faster than the speed of light, but also to other spheres or levels of existence. And the tie-up between science and religion is fascinating at the moment, or spirituality, should we say, rather than religion. I mean, even the Vatican is looking into it. I don't know if you saw the story recently, the Pope's astronomer came out and said that he would baptize an alien. I mean,
they are
having to deal with these things. So the Dalai Lama, all the leaders, I think, of the spiritual traditions will have to answer what the implications are of cosmic existence.
I find it fascinating, Richard, that all of this seems to be happening at about the same time.
Yes.
The Vatican's saying what they're saying, some of the countries releasing its UFO reports.
Yes.
These incredible stories, you've been following them, about UFOs at Chinese airports. This is weird stuff.
Yes.
Something's going on.
And there you have some of the Chinese reports, certainly over the years. You've had incidents of lost time, haven't you, where someone has grown a beard with 5 days beard growth and things like that in a matter of hours and reports like that. So the tie-up between, you know, we are sort of in the real dark ages. And it's fascinating the way, really, that scientists come out and say, oh, well, now we know this. We know very little, really. But all we keep learning is what we don't know. And, it, you know, it's also interesting because I also explore the link, the historic link, if you like, between mysticism and science and what we would call alchemy. And if you take someone like Sir Isaac Newton, you know, who discovered gravity, watching an apple and so forth, this man spent far more time devoted to the practice of alchemy than he did to the practice of what we now call physics.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, where did his inspiration come from to discover these great laws of the universe?
What's the latest with Gary McKinnon, the hacker who hacked into the Pentagon and the NASA computers, where he claims he just wanted UFO information, has not been extradited yet. He's still in the United Kingdom.
Mm.
But do you follow that at all?
Well, it keeps cropping up in the press. I haven't personally investigated it outside of media reports. And, you know, the main way it's looked at here is as a human rights issue.
Yeah.
The UFO issue is sort of brushed over in the press quite a lot, actually. But, you know, it certainly is... It is extraordinary, isn't it? It's a case where, you know, you think, why are they so worried then? You know, what is it that really worries them about this man?
Do you think the ancients, when they talk about gods, they probably were talking about extraterrestrial visitations? They just didn't know how to say it?
I do. I mean, in the Aetherius Society, we actually believe that many of the great spiritual teachers came to our world from other planets. The Star of Bethlehem was not a star. You don't get a star hovering over a stable. You don't get a star hovering over a town. You don't get a star hovering over a planet. It's a sun. It would burn the whole place up. It would be a cosmic catastrophe. And people for thousands of years, and many today, believe that three men, although it could actually have been more, I've looked into this a bit than three, but that's the detail in a way, were guided across a distance and taken to a stable by watching an object that hovered over there and identified it. That was quite clearly a UFO. That was quite clearly a great event. And certainly, and this I'm afraid is controversial, but it's what we believe to be true in the Aetherius Society, Jesus came from another planet. We believe he came from the planet Venus. We believe the Lord Buddha came from another planet. Sri Krishna came from another planet. Lao Tzu, Confucius, Patanjali, many of the great, not every single great spiritual teacher in history, but many of them came from other worlds and brought their great wisdom at different times.